This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Melaghana's Edwards Johnson, the team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, 9 minutes past six this morning, and I did promise an update on a true crime saga involving the royal family.
That's correct.
And I kind of maybe went over the top a little bit.
I can't imagine that you were
just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Because we're not 100% sure who's at fault here.
Yeah.
But Prince Philip and his car accident. He's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the update to the whole thing is nobody has apologized yet from Buckingham Palace.
Right. No one's gone. Because it's looking like it was maybe his fault.
Just looking like it was a lot his fault.
Yeah,
and
okay.
They're saying that the car that he hit,
yeah,
the person has yet to hear an apology from Prince Philip or really anyone at Buckingham Palace.
You're not going to hear one.
You're not. You're absolutely
you're
straight
not
up not.
You're not going to get one.
And I think the most interesting part about this for me is just analysing it from a facts and figures standpoint. Like, I like to look at the numbers when these sorts of things happen.
Yeah.
The only number that matters is a 9 followed by a 7.
Yeah.
In that he's 97 years old and is still driving a car.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I love both my grandparents to the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
And my pop's very big on driving, but a couple of months ago, and he'd be embarrassed if I told this story, but a couple of months ago, he was driving through a school zone,
mm-hmm,
got pulled over by the police, and they said, "What are you doing 60 through a school zone for?" And Pop's answer was, "What's a school zone?"
Mm-hmm.
So at a certain point, yeah, you need to, I think, keep an eye on your relatives and go, maybe you shouldn't be driving anymore.
Or maybe
that's why Nan drives a lot more now.
Because, okay, right.
Yeah, we've sort of learned our lesson there, and we like Nan to drive because she's just a little bit more on the ball with current events, i.e. the introduction of school zones.
I feel like this lady shouldn't be asking for an apology. She should be asking the police to look into taking Prince Philip's.
Well,
okay, here's the thing, though, because I haven't read into this story at all. Mm. I just know that he's okay, and that's all. That's the only
which
part.
Is amazing in of itself. Yeah. You think if you flip a car when you're 97, that is good night nurse. But he has apparently walked away from this.
That's the only kind of thing I've taken away from this. But was he on, like, up the property? Like, on a manor? At some point?
No, I think this was public land because there were other drivers out and about. So there are a couple of questions I'd like to know. Like, first and foremost, how is he driving? Secondly, why wouldn't, like, security-wise, how is he driving?
Yeah.
Because wouldn't a security guard be driving for him?
Like, yeah, you'd think so.
Or is he followed by other cars? Yeah. How does that work?
Yeah.
And thirdly, how do you write a ticket for a member of the royal family?
You just can't.
So if you are the local police and you're like, well, we can see what's happened here.
Yeah.
And say, I don't know if this is what happened, but there was an intersection involved. Say you ran a red light.
Yep.
I don't think that is what happened, but say you ran a red light.
Yeah.
How do you book a member of the royal family for running a red light?
I tell you what would be
do
the
you
most
take demerit points?
Well, okay. No, what the most badass thing would be is if it was the Queen, all right? She gets pulled over and they're like, $150 fine. She was like, all right, can I pay in $1 coins? And like, that's fine. You can pay however you want. She's like, oh, you want to look on the back of that coin? You'll notice it's me.
But how dare you? It was one of the coins from like the 70s.
Yeah,
like, that looks nothing like
isn't
you.
Is that your mum?
Yeah.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, the beach of Boracay is a beautiful beach. But unfortunately, it's gotten a little bit loose there, and it's kind of harming the beauty
beach,
of it all.
Yeah, I saw this story. This is in the Philippines, and it is actually a majestic-looking beach, and they've got to try and work out how to stop the tourists from wrecking it.
Exactly. So the police have gone, all right, guys, no more drinking on the beach. Which
fair
is
enough.
Fine.
Good start. Very good
also,
start.
Also, no more fireworks on the beach.
That's also a great start.
Also, probably, I mean, I didn't read this rule, but it should be one. No drinking and fireworks on the beach.
Yeah, both of those two things together is probably how you're doing a lot of damage to the beach.
Exactly. Right. But the weirdest rule that the police have instigated that they're actually sticking to when there's photos and videos of them doing this is no more sandcastles on the beach. Because a lot of people will go and build a sandcastle for a bit of money. They'll go, oh my God, look at this sandcastle. And people, kind of like busking, and people go, that actually is incredible. Here, have like a dollar.
Yeah, wow.
They're saying no more of that. Because it's getting in the way, they just leave the sandcastles once they're done and they're looking bad. So what police are doing now is going around kicking down sandcastles.
This is this is great. Now, this is exactly what I wish my full-time job was.
Just going around kicking down sandcastles.
Yes.
And these are like the nice sandcastles as well. These are like sandcastle competition sandcastles.
Yeah, no, that's fun.
The police are going around having a merry old time, I'd imagine, because it is fun to kick down the sandcastle.
Can I ask a quick question? Obviously, as you said, the people are making these sandcastles as a way of like, hey, give me a tip. I've made this sandcastle. Check it out.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen sandcastle art? Like,
I've seen a bit.
So you've been to the beach when they'll do one of those exhibitions, and there's, you know, these incredible sandcastles.
Mm-hmm.
Someone will build the Taj Mahal out of sand. It's like amazing.
It's beautiful.
So how much on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you had to fight with every inch of your body and 0 being not at all, did you want to kick down the sand Taj Mahal when you saw it?
I'd say up a 9.
Yeah. For me, it's about a 14. Yeah. Like I actually have to activate every adult fiber in my being going, I can't kick that down.
Yeah.
Just see a giant Finding Nemo thing made out of sand. You're like, imagine if I just drove my foot through Dory. That'd be hilarious. You're like, no, I can't. Someone's worked very hard on this.
Yeah.
There are children that'll be sad if this happens. But God, I just want to spear tackle that. I just want to run through it.
If I was the police in Boracay, what I would do this weekend is I'd be like, okay, guys, we're just kidding about that rule. Actually, to make up for all the things we've done, big sandcastle competition.
Yep.
And you get people down there and people excited. And then like in the ninth hour, you go like, just kidding, and you just fly kick everything.
Charge the tourists more for people like me who want to destroy these sandcastles. Use the extra money to help rebuild the beach.
And that's how the world works.
It shouldn't be, but apparently if you've got enough of immaturity in your system, that is how the world works.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
It's time to talk Hat of Destiny right now. 131060 is the number to call. If over the weekend you've done either of the activities we just drew out of the Hat of Destiny, eating an apricot.
Yep.
That was mine.
Eating pavlova. That was mine.
God.
You have to have done either of those since we spoke last.
And it's honestly not going to be that hard this morning, I don't think. I think both of those things are pretty common activities.
I don't reckon pavlova. I reckon you've got a better chance. An apricot's very cooling because I'll also take a dried apricot with you.
Oh, would you?
I would.
Oh.
I'm very generous. Much like take leftover pavlova, I'd take a dried apricot.
Here's the great news. We've got a caller of destiny right now on the phone. Tracy from Belconnen. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, very energetic, Trace.
Good. How are you going?
Oh, no. Look, I'm good. Have you had a great weekend?
Great.
Oh, that's fantastic news. Have you stayed nice and cool? Because obviously the heat has been just horrible.
Mm.
It's been disgusting. I've tried. Our aircon doesn't work at home.
Oh, no.
Just sitting in your car.
You know, got a few fans, but survived. Just.
Yeah.
All right, Trace. Well, enough of the small talk this morning. What did you do over the weekend?
I ate pavlova.
Oh!
You beauty, Trace. No.
And he's now
come, Tracy. Why did you eat pavlova?
We had a friend's 21st on.
Oh. I wouldn't associate pavlova that much with the 21st. It's more of an 81st, I would have thought.
Was it like a rummy pavlova? Was there like other ingredients in it?
No.
Was it nice, Trace? Because pavlova
is delicious.
Yeah, good.
Kiwi fruit.
Ooh.
There was no apricot, so
yeah.
That's a good thing.
God, imagine you would have been our first caller of destiny that had done both activities.
Somehow, yeah, exactly.
That would have been incredible.
Oh, I was actually going to say I did also eat an apricot.
Well, really? Wait a second. Which one came first?
No, wait. Were they on separate days, Tracy?
No, they were on the same day.
Okay, whoever guesses what day it was wins. Because it's either
Saturday
or Sunday.
Okay, so which day was the 21st?
I reckon it was on Sunday.
I reckon it was on Saturday. Which one was it, Trace?
Saturday.
Oh, David, you've taken the point from yourself.
No.
I've now got the point.
Oh. Oh, how bittersweet.
And just like
damn
that.
It.
Just
I
like that.
Oh,
I already had the victory in the bag.
Scores are tied now. Oh. Just like that.
Trace,
how exciting the Hat of Destiny is. A game of intrigue and mystery. And most importantly, destiny.
Tracy. Oh, I always have to push it.
Thank you so much for the call
I'm
this morning.
Sorry.
No, not your fault.
Bless you, Tracy.
No, Ned's fault.
100%. I always want to raise the stakes. That's my problem.
Can I get a score check, please, Ned?
Okay. The scores as they currently stand, 1-1. Damn it.
Fantastic.
I was going to have a solid lead, but now I don't.
You were the cat that ate the canary and then vomited that canary back up.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Now, Iggy Azalea is overseas. She has been overseas for a very, very long time.
Over a decade now.
She moved over there when she was quite young, and she has stated what she's missing the most about Australia.
Well, it started off she, I think, just tweeted it. She goes, I don't call Australia home anymore.
Yeah.
I've been away for so long. She still counts herself as Australian, as you can tell by her accent sometimes.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It just seems that she
oh,
picks
no,
and chooses.
Her speaking accent's solidly Australian.
Exactly. Yeah. But she says, I don't count Australia home as home anymore, which is fine. I mean, she's been away for over a decade, like 13 years now.
Yeah.
But she has said there's only one thing she misses. I guess she's discounting like family and friends and stuff like that. But the one thing she misses from Australia is a bunning.
Like the Australiana thing.
Exactly, yeah, right. Yeah. Is the Bunnings sausage sizzle.
Ah.
Going down to Bunnings, you're going to get some potting mix and you also get a snag on the side.
Now, the Bunnings sausage sizzle is obviously, it had a rough 2018. It was under siege. It was under siege.
Yeah.
The onions underneath the sausage. I think that's something Bunnings would be more than happy to leave behind them. So I'm not going to try and start some new controversy around the Bunnings sausage sizzle.
I was suddenly against this and I actually did it. I went down to Bunnings and I contributed in a sausage sizzle and I had to put the onion underneath. I'll tell you what, it's the same.
It's the new rules. It tastes the same.
Tastes
get
exactly
over
the same.
Everybody get over it.
Yeah.
But I will say there is a bit of controversy around this for me. And it led to me getting my detective hat on.
Is it a fedora?
Take a seat, see? It was a warm, sunny night.
Was it? A sunny night?
Hijinks were in the air.
It was a warm, sunny night? Explain to me how that works.
Okay, let's drop the detective shtick. But Iggy Iggs left long before the Bunnings sausage sizzle was a meme the way it is now.
Yep.
Now, when Iggy Iggs left, I think it was probably like... Your
13
late,
years ago.
Your late noughties.
Yeah.
Your 2008s, your 2005s, 2006s.
Yeah.
The Bunnings sausage sizzle very much existed, but it wasn't a meme like it is now.
No.
Where it's kind of a thing people like wear on their sleeves as like, oh, that's what it means to be an Aussie, the Bunnings sausage sizzle.
Yep.
I think she's jumped on the bandwagon.
I don't think
she actually misses the Bunnings sausage sizzle because I don't think it was that big of a part of her life back when she lived here.
It's funny because she's saying she doesn't count Australia as home, but it seems like she is trying to impress Australians. I'm still aware of the memes that are going on.
I know what's going on. I know
about swoopy boys. Yeah. I know about all the memes that are perusing Australia.
I would say, given the fact that she grew up in Mullumbimby, which is quite a while away from Byron Bay, which is where the closest Bunnings is to Mullumbimby, that she has jumped on a Facebook page and has seen the Bunnings meme going around about how much we love the sausage sizzle.
Do you reckon that she still follows people from the Mullum, the Bimby?
Possibly.
Because they would post about it, potentially.
Maybe.
But I honestly, that's where I reckon she's seen it. Imagine being followed by like, oh, Iggy Azalea from down the block. Yeah, yeah, she's like a multi-platinum selling artist now. Yeah, and she follows me on Instagram because I knew her when she was five.
If you doubt for me, and there is also a little bit of a reason why I'm coming to the table with this. Mm. There's a Netflix show at the moment that she is in the first episode of.
Yeah.
Where literally the whole show is about celebrities blowing money. And she spends like $125,000 on jewelry in this episode.
Yeah.
And you watch her write the check.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
She doesn't care about sausage sizzles.
No, she doesn't.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Ned, right now, we are on a bit of a mission, and that mission is to try and get a workplace in Canberra Friday off.
Yep, exactly. So if you already get Monday off.
If you're willing to shutter your business on Friday, give us a call, 131060. If you're the boss, you can make that decision. We will give you free commercials on Hit 104.7. They will, be written, produced, and voiced by Ned and I, because we can't take any resources away from the other people in the radio station normally do those jobs.
Exactly.
I guess that means it's going to be extra personal, wouldn't it? Like, that's a bonus way of looking at that.
And you said it before. It's going to stand out. Because it'll sound like nothing else on the station.
It might not be for a good reason, but it will stand out. We've got John on the line right now. John, how are you?
Yeah, great, mate. You?
Yeah, no, not too bad,
John. Good, John.
John, do you oversee a business?
Yeah, I do.
Do you have the ability to shutter that business for Friday?
Yeah, I am.
Were you already planning to do that?
No, you decided it.
Okay. John, what is the business?
And you decided for half of Canberra, I think.
Yeah, right.
So you reckon everyone's just going to close
it? The people that weren't thinking of having Friday off are thinking now about Friday.
There you go. And now you get the four-day weekend. John, your staff, how many people are we talking here that might be now getting the day off?
Four, including me, five.
Okay. What is the business, John?
We do commercial fencing.
Fantastic.
All right. Do you have a name for the business, John?
JPK Fencing.
Fantastic. All right, what sets you apart from competitors, John? Because we're just starting to get a little bit of notes here so we can build this commercial for you.
I'm taking minutes.
We're the best in Canberra.
Okay, well, that's all right. I would ask to see some research, but no, that's fine. That's okay.
That's the job. Our work. So we come back when there's issues and complaints.
Right.
And thing. Every business has complaints, and you know.
Are there, is the crew...
Visual differences.
Yeah.
You can't buy it off the shelf, a fence, so you've got to visit in your head that you're getting this. And if you don't get that, you've got to just keep going until the client's happy, even if you're thinking in your head like...
Yeah, John, no, you know what, mate? This is all good stuff. This is stuff that can be in the commercial.
Also, John, you've made it very easy for us if it's the best building place in Canberra. That's going to sell itself.
John, do you have a preference in terms of commercial? Would you like to hear one of those commercials where two people talk backwards and forwards like, oh, I need
like a
fence?
A conversation.
Or would you like maybe a jingle? Do you have any preference?
A jingle.
Oh, a jingle?
God, I really shouldn't have said that out loud, should I?
Jesus, all right. I'll put it under the maybe jingle.
No, look, he's asked for a jingle. You absolutely are locking this in right now that you're willing to give your employees Friday off?
For sure.
Okay, John.
There's so many.
All right, then, John.
They were yelling at me from the other side of the tennis court.
Yeah, fair enough, too.
Fair enough,
Get up, Johnny. Call up. Johnny, do you want us to call up?
Yeah, no, look, this is...
Honestly,
this is what we asked for, but now we've bitten off way more than we can chew with the jingle.
Pretty good.
Economy's on a crashing camera because of you guys on Friday.
Yeah, well, that looked. I can't be responsible for that. Yeah. That's not something I can be responsible
cool,
for. But then you know what I would say. What I'd say to that, John? People are going to go out while every business is still open and spend a bunch of money, which will stimulate the economy. So, yeah.
I think we've honestly hit the jackpot here. I mean, think of all like the. Oh, this is just brainstorming live on air. I think of all of like the. Double meanings for fence and stuff.
Oh,
like
how many words rhyme? How many words rhyme with fence?
Exactly.
Yeah, fantastic.
Are you getting tense? Build a fence,
John.
Sitting on the fence.
Lock it in. Lock it in, John. Yeah. We're going to be making this ad for you. We'll be able to run it past you, get your final approval, and then definitely lock in that you are going to be taking Friday off, mate. Are you ready to hear your commercial in 5 to 4 business days? Sounds good?
That'd be great.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay. All right.
Oh, brilliant.
Go to Facebook if you're a business that wants a free commercial and is willing to give your employees Friday off.
Mm.
And fantastic from the crew down there at JPK Fencing.
I'll knock this one out today.
I mean, I'm renting an apartment. No need for a fence. Yeah. But maybe I'll put some chicken wire up on my balcony. I'll give them a call.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
You know what, Canberra? This morning I am into the Australian Open. It's everywhere. The news is about Roger Federer. Absolutely amazing last night. People staying up to watch it. Just loving the fairy tale stories coming out of the Australian Open. But... something very, very modern. Nothing even remotely close to a fairy tale about this story. In fact, an invention that didn't even exist 25 years ago has caused some havoc. Now, you know how the umpire sits up in the chair? The chair umpire.
Of course. It's part and parcel of playing tennis.
He or she has the little umbrella over the top of the seat. Usually it's got some branding on it. And then you go, oh, cool, more space to sell advertising. But it also protects them, keeps the shade out of the...
Yep.
In this particular case, saved a chair umpire's life.
The umbrella?
Well, maybe I've gone a bit over the top then. I think it saved a chair umpire's life.
What happened?
You know the spider cam?
Yeah.
The camera that brings those incredible breathtaking shots of the court and, you know, it's up in the rafters and it zooms in and then gets next to the players and then zooms back up to the roof.
Yep.
Absolutely amazing invention. If you've ever been to the Australian Open and seen it, it's on wires and it goes up and down and it's incredible.
It is incredible.
Absolutely incredible. It took out the roof of the chair umpire's
Nearly
seat.
Hit him.
Yeah, well, her. Yesterday. And it was literally a little bit dangerous in that I think without the little roof there, may have actually hit her. So thank God for the little roof.
Yeah,
and also, surely that spider cam operator's fired today.
Well, how much are spider cams?
Maybe not fired. Because, I mean, if you're looking at your job as the spider cam operator, that's got to be at least a written warning. Because that's, in terms of things you can stuff up on your job, that's got to be number one.
That's what I mean.
Hit anyone with the spider cam.
That's why I think he'd be fired. He or she'd be fired because that's got to be the first
rule. It's the
golden
rule. Like, everyone makes mistakes.
You're operating a camera that's on wires. Just don't hit anyone.
Don't drop it too low to the ground that it might hit someone.
I reckon a written warning would be like, oh, you missed Federer's serve. That's not on.
Oh,
hitting
okay.
someone in the head with the camera, that's
a fireable offence.
See you later.
Look, I don't like the idea that anyone's lost their job.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking we chalk this up to, all right, careful next time.
Yeah.
Lucky we got away with it this time.
Yep.
That's what I'm hoping has happened. But the idea behind this, I would like to suggest for the spider cam, maybe moving forward, is the wires are not long enough to go that low.
No, of course not.
It would just be a suggestion I have. Like, yeah, just off the top of my head, how can we fix this? Mm. Only make the wires long enough to go so they would have no chance of hitting anyone.
I don't need to see Rafael Nadal's leg hairs. That doesn't need to be that close.
That's it. I don't need to see someone's kneecap. Yeah. I just or someone beat kneecaps, quite frankly. Yeah. I just need to like those nice shots of the court.
Just from a panning shot.
The bird's eye view. That's great.
Yeah.
And that's it. Birds obviously fly quite low to the ground sometimes. Sometimes birds get hit by cars.
Yeah.
So the lesson here is for the spider cam, which I'm still not, I think it's named because they use it in Spider-Man. It's still very confusingly named, if you
not
ask me.
Not because it's on webs? Like the things are like webs?
It was used in the first Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
The point here I'm trying to make, learn the lessons from the animal kingdom. Mm. Spiders aren't going about getting under people's feet and stuff like that.
No way. They know. They know that's where they die.
I would fathom a guess right now that if anybody in charge of the spider cam ever gets to hear this, they'll go, you know what? Let's fly these two smart asses down. Sure. Give them a crack at using the spider cam.
I'd love it.
See how incredibly hard it is. You watch me wreck a $50,000 camera like that.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
We are taking some very, very tentative calls. I mean, I don't know if this is going to come through. I think we've tentatively got people locked in for a very specific reason.
Mm.
And the reason I say they've tentatively locked in is I don't know if people get cold feet with this. We are looking for people who have jobs that they love, but there is one facet of it that they hate.
Exactly.
That we might not know about as customers who interact with the people doing those jobs, or as people who work with people doing those jobs. Well, if there's something that you hate about a job that you otherwise love, get on the phone right now, 13 10 60. This is off the back of a list of 8 things that flight attendants apparently hate.
Yeah.
Which my sister's a flight attendant. I can confirm she has complained about all 8 of these things.
It's essentially just be polite to them. Treat them like they're human beings and then they won't be upset.
Rather than robots that are there to give you things. Because that's not what they are. They are people. 13 10 60 is the number to call right now. Maddie's on the line from Dunlop. How are you, Maddie?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Maddie. Thank you. Now, Maddie, in interest of your job being nice and secure, just give us where you work without naming the business. I think that
What's the occupation?
I work at a supermarket.
There we go.
Right, perfect.
So what is something about working at a supermarket that you hate that the rest of us might not realise?
So customers, if they decide to ask what they don't want something, and they'll just put it wherever they feel like. So then that was all sorts of things, like sausages chopped in the freezer, and we won't necessarily find it till the next day.
Okay. Okay. So, right. I think
I got
most of that. Your phone line's very bad, Maddie, but you're saying that you don't like it. No, it's not your fault. You're saying that you don't like it when people take things off the shelf and then decide they don't want to just put it wherever they want, particularly if it's frozen, because then it'll just be ruined. Mm.
Exactly.
There we go. Your phone line got heaps better then, by the way.
Crystal clear to say yes.
Wow. So that's, I didn't even think about that. I see it sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, oh, someone's probably going to have to go and get that. That sucks.
I do it sometimes.
I'll cop to it.
At the end of the day, there is so much to collect. And oh my God, I don't think people understand.
I'm glad Maddie's phone line got bad again at the point where Ned just told you, Maddie, that he does this.
But at the same time, and to counteract my point, sometimes I'll pick things up that I go, oh, sweet. Shapes.
No, you don't.
I did it yesterday.
I picked up things that people have left places.
A barbecue shapes packet was just sitting on like the outer skirt of like, I think they were selling
the brand
iced
or something.
Tea.
Yeah, you're right.
And I just picked it up and I was like, actually, sure. Okay.
You bought it.
I bought it.
I thought you meant you put it back.
No,
there's no way you've done that.
No. I just bought a random box of shapes.
Thank you very much for the call, Maddie. Crystal's on the line from Belcon. And once again, without giving us the business name, Crystal, what do you do for a living?
I work in a cafe.
Okay. There's a lot of things here that could be things that annoy you. Crystal, what's the number one on the pet peeves list?
I think it's when people ask for a cappuccino with no chocolate on top.
Okay. So Ned's rolling his eyes, shaking his head. He's a former barista himself. Is that annoying, Ned? Would you confirm that?
I tell you what's more annoying, when people go, can I get a flat white with froth on it, which is a cappuccino? And then you go, oh, that's a cappuccino. So next time you go somewhere, ask for a cappuccino. And they say, no, it's not.
And and then they pretend like they're the barista.
Yes.
They're like, it's different from a cappuccino. I'm making it and I'm telling you it's the same thing.
We have been down this hole before where you and fellow baristas just talk to each other about barista problems. Let's just say you guys have a lot of people that annoy you. Is that fair to say, Crystal?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
It's because
and extra hot. I put a coffee in for almost 95 degrees, and he still stuck his finger in the coffee and said it wasn't hot enough.
Yeah, that's burnt milk.
Yeah,
that's if you drink you can burn milk. That's burnt milk. It's not hot enough. It is.
Everybody take a deep breath. Yeah. Okay, everybody take a deep breath. We've got Carly on the line from Palmerston. Carly, wrap this up for us. What is your profession?
I'm a dental receptionist.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Okay. That's and cool. What's something that really annoys you at your job?
Every single time I book somebody in at 2:30, I get the 2:30 joke.
Wow. I didn't even.
And unfortunately, Carly, that's a part of your job. That is a part of your job. Are you kidding me? That's the funniest. I would laugh every time someone said that.
It's a fake laugh every single time.
It is a fake laugh, but it's still there because
I'd love that. Yeah. I'm so jealous that my job doesn't involve any kind of time pun. 2:30. I'm going to become a dental assistant now.
Carly,
or something involved with a dentist.
Carly, I've got to tell you, I live and work around Ned constantly. Yeah. I feel your pain. He's a person that finds this kind of joke very funny.
That's amazing.
And it's funny the first time. It is not funny any time after that.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
For personal injury compensation, there's one team that gives you more. Visit MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.